Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is your host, Adia Sanders, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio PRF table for March 17th, 2016, and we're going to continue in our topic for this month, your Keys to Wealth series, and today's key number three is going to talk about asking the question, are you committed? For the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about what are those keys to wealth. On March 3rd, we talked about the covenant coming out of Deuteronomy 8 and 18. And on March 10th, we talked about the commandment coming from Deuteronomy chapters 8, 7, and 6. And looking at what the Ten Commandments has to do with our keys to wealth. And one of the examples that was given was being able to understand, looking at one of the Ten Commandments, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does that really mean, and how does that tie into my wealth? How to obtain wealth God's way using biblical principles? So when you look at obedience, you know, we understand that in order to walk in obedience, it takes a level of commitment. And so tonight, yes, that is what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to take a couple of minutes just to let Aunt Mary introduce herself and give us any comments that you have from last week's show or the previous show before that. And just want to say, yes, also before I do that, just want to welcome everybody to the table. We thank you so much for hanging in here with us. And go ahead, Aunt Mary. How are you today?
Okay. Good evening, my PRF family, and glad that you could be here this evening with us. We were talking about the covenant, as Sister Dear was saying. And the point that I got from it, first I need to understand the covenant, which he gave us, you know, scriptures for. And then we also need to, you know, we want God to bless us with these covenant blessings. To me, we should honor our mother and our father. And that was discussed, that how can we expect, you know, God to bless us when we can't honor our mother and father? And I had said also, I had added to that, that it's not just honoring them in their presence, but it's honoring them out of their presence, and it's really what you think about your mother and your father. Because the Bible says, so a man thinketh, so is he. Yeah. And so we have to, as he said, you know, look at the commandments. And we have to, you know, as he was saying about making this personal, you know, in other words, this is about what I need to do for myself so that I can be blessed with the blessings of the covenant that God has left for me, you know. And so if I'm not willing to, you know, follow the commandments, because they are commandments, and one is not greater than the other. Those are commandments. And so if I'm following the commandments into the best of my ability, and when I do make a mistake, I repent. But I can't just continue to do the same, making mistakes over and over again, or sinning, call it like it is, sinning over and over again, and knowing that I can go to God and be forgiven, because that's intentional sinning, you know? So that means that's just words coming out. And so as we're going to discuss tonight about commitment, it's the same thing. We have to become committed to these commandments, and we as believers have become committed to really to the Word of God and what God has to say about everything in our lives. And so, it was another point here I wanted to make. Oh, we are also going to go through the wilderness, because as we know, God took the children through the wilderness. You know, and when we go through the wilderness, it can make or break us. You know, we can go through it complaining, and nothing's never right. Therefore, we're not going to grow, you know, more spiritually is where we want to be. You know, we can have the head knowledge, but we really want to grow from the inside out. So it's important that we make up in our minds, this is what I want to do. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to really, if I'm having problems in this area, let me and just pray and ask God. Sometimes you may have to have a sister that you can talk to about it and get it right with God. We got to get this right with God. God does not, Jesus do not care if we have riches. He doesn't care about our pettiness, but he does care about our obedience. And as we said, what's in the heart comes out. And so he's going to judge your heart when all is said and done. So we want to have a contrite heart that when we do sin, because sin separates us from God,
mm-hmm.
no matter what we're doing, no matter how much money we have or how successful that God, let's remember who gives us wealth. Jesus gives us the power to get wealth, so we can't forget who gives it to us as believers, that we all have what we have right now because God is allowing us to have it, praise God. And so we have to stay committed to the Word of God. And as for myself, if I know that this, the Word of God has gotten me where I am right now, so I have to continue to follow the Word of God if I want to be successful, not just with material stuff, but be successful inside and out. And that I don't have to go around and say who I am with a title, because people can see the God in me. Because he says, Jesus said, let your light shine, you know, and a tree is known by the fruit it bear. So to me, this was very good. This I just really enjoyed this, you know. And, okay, you can take it away, firecracker.
All right. So, you know, you said a couple of things that really, I guess that's going to kind of help us segue in
it. Yes.
So. And that is about the commandments. And when you're talking about obedience, I think that all of the Ten Commandments had to deal with obedience on an individual level. Why would God want us to be obedient? Well, one, when you think about obedience, it protects you. You know, we'll tell our children, hey, until I get home, don't open the door for anyone. Out of obedience, if somebody were to come to that door and they don't open it, they could have just saved life, you know. And so obedience mm-hmm. protects us. And when you think about God the Father, that is what a protector does. That is what a good father, what a good parent does. They're going to put things in place, rules and structure and discipline in place, because there's a level of accountability. There's a level of protection that a father or a parent or mother is supposed to provide to their children. And so when you look at the Ten Commandments, that's what I see from them, that this is the Father protecting us from the wiles of the devil. And so when you look at obedience when it comes to wealth, there are certain things that must be done. And if we don't follow those things, then the wealth that we're looking to obtain can become frustrating. The wealth that we're looking to obtain can be a far dream that we think is not attainable. But clearly, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, when God, you know, in the Word of God, when you see it talks about wealth, when you see it talks about wisdom, there is a level of obedience that has to be there. But in order for people to be obedient, they must know how to commit. And so when you look at commitment, it takes up, it takes it into account what are your beliefs. Where's your belief system lie? Does your belief system lie rely on the word of God? Does your belief system, is it rooted and founded in your relationship and walk with God? Do you have an understanding of the word of God? What is your mindset like? Because a lot of times people can give lip service that they are obedient, but will do the total opposite.
Right.
And so that tells me that their act, that is now dealing with their actions, their behavior, and habits that they have already formed that will not, to where they're not looking at their mindset and how the thoughts that they have and the maybe sometimes the lack of discipline or the inability to be able to follow through when you say you're going to do something, all of that deals with commitment. And so what I wanted to go to next, right, is I have the New Living Translation. I just wanted to look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it says, Moses called all the people of Israel together and said, listen carefully. Hear the decrees and regulations I am giving you today so you may learn them and obey them. So this was something that was not the norm for the children of Israel. Maybe they didn't have rules like this to follow. Because remember, they're coming out of slavery. So the mentality that they have is one of, I do what I'm told to do or I suffer the consequences, and so therefore I am compliant. You tell me what I have to do, and I do it. There's no questions asked. I am agreeing to it even if I don't like it. Because there is a consequence associated with it in the slavery that they were in. And so when you understand how loving our Father is, he says, you have Moses saying, I'm going to give you some regulations. I'm going to give you some decrees on things that we need to do. But you're going to have to learn how to do it. And so anytime that we have to learn something, it does not come easy, especially if it is unfamiliar to us. And so we've all been to school. Just think about the first time when you had to learn your ABCs. You didn't know that the alphabet even existed. And so now you have to take the time to learn the ABCs. And so when your teacher asks you to recite the ABCs, that is something that is not, that is foreign to you. It is something that is different. And so that's a topic that I think, or an item that we definitely need to consider, that when God is trying to get us to a place of wealth, there's something that we're going to, some things we're going to have to learn because they don't come easy to us. We're going to have to learn some things. We're going to have to learn to be disciplined and not spend every dime we get. We're going to have to take the time to read the word of God. We're going to have to take the time to take some notes and to study and to work with people that have expertise in this area. Why? Because it is unfamiliar to us. And so that's one of the things when you look at the commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, they weren't used to it. And so to learn something takes a level of what? Commitment. I have to say, I have to, one, be honest with myself to say, you know, Aunt Mary, I never had to do this before.
Right.
And so the level of commitment that I have to learn something that I've never had to do before has to be high. And it may not start out that way because, as you can see, you know, when it came to the Ten Commandments, some of them were broken. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What'd they go do? He was at the mountain, and they out there building an image made out of gold.
Yes.
And so what I want to do is I'm going to just transition. We're going to still hold tight to Deuteronomy chapter 5. But I want to talk about there's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. It talks about wealth. And it says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes. Now, this is 21st century vernacular because they didn't talk like that in the Bible. But it says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. It goes away. But wealth from hard work grows over time. So you can get rich quick. The wealth from getting rich quick, the Bible tells us clearly, you can get wealthy from it. You will obtain riches from a quick rich scheme. But it disappears. Because you have to understand, what was the level of commitment? What did you have to learn? What did the person have to go through in order to get the quick riches?
Yes. That's good.
What did they sacrifice? And you see in the Ten Commandments, you know, it was only 10 of them. And if you were asked the average person today, if, like right now, hey, out of the Ten Commandments, did you break one of those today? If they're honest, they may tell you yes. They may tell you yes, they did. But we see in the second part of Proverbs 13 and 11, it says, wealth from hard work grows over time. And so when I look at the Ten Commandments, and when I understand, you know, when Moses was talking to the children of Israel, and he says to them, I'm going to give you some decrees and I'm going to give you some regulations, but we're going to have to learn them. That tells me that it's going to take some work. And this is not going to be an overnight process. And so when you look at individuals, when I look at myself being committed to learning the keys to wealth, it is something that I have to take my time in. It is something that I'm going to have to study. There is a level of commitment and obedience that must be in the foundation so that as I am going through the process to obtain wealth, that I know that it is something that is going to take hard work from me, and it is not something that takes place overnight. And when we say grows over time, that over time could very well be 2 years. It could be 3 years. It could be 4 years. When you look at Joseph in the Bible, we're talking about a 13-year process for him. From the time he went from the pit to the palace, 13 years. When you look at the ministry of Jesus, he went through that process for 30-something years and started his ministry around the age of 30. So for 30 years, even as a kid, you can see he was in the temple learning and asking questions. And there was even a level of obedience to his parents and to God the Father for Jesus. And so it is no wonder that when we look at the Ten Commandments, why Moses told the children of Israel that we're going to have to learn. Because it is when you are obtaining wealth and are getting the keys to wealth, there's a certain level of learning that has to take place, something that most people, to include myself, are not used to.
Yeah.
So let's look at I talked about a couple of different things and was talking to Nate today. It says, in order to obey the command, one must commit. That commitment makes being obedient easier. Somebody may ask, well, how is that? How is it that my obedience or my agreement to commit makes my level of obedience easier for me to just do what is asked to do in order to get the keys to wealth? What does that have to do with anything? What role does commitment play in making obedience easier for me? So let's look at what commitment means. To commit means to give in trust. I am giving something to an individual, to an organization, to God, to say I'm giving my trust up to you. And it is putting me in a position to be able to receive. When I'm committed to something, that means that there's a level of trust that I have from me into whatever it is that I'm going to do. And in this case, we're talking about keys to wealth. The other definition of commitment is to put into the hands or power of another. I'm going to put into the hands and the power of another my wills and my desire. What will and desire are we willing to give up in order to obtain keys to wealth according to God? Commitment, it is a state or quality of being dedicated. A state or quality of being dedicated. Now we're talking about characteristics. It is a quality that one can have to be committed. I would ask the question, do you, Adia, do I have the quality of commitment? And when I think about commitment, I think about the other characteristics and qualities of my attitude and also loyalty. Because in order for me to be obedient, I have to be able and committed, I have to believe in the person or the group or the organization that I'm following. Do we believe in God? Do we trust his word? Do we trust him with our dreams and our desires and our goals? And do we trust him to his word that he has the keys to give us the wealth that is needed? How high is our level of commitment? How deep is our roots when it comes to us walking in obedience to what God is calling and asking us to do? Now, Aunt Mary, when you talk about commitment, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There is an opposite of being committed, and it is not uncommitted. It is compliant.
Right.
It's compliance. Now,
yes.
If we look at some of the household items that we have, we will see that there are stickers on them that talks about quality control, and you may be able to read on the directions or the sheet that comes with it to say all of the parts of this toaster or microwave meets the compliance regulations that have been for this particular item, meaning that there were a set of rules that were put together to say in order for this piece of equipment to be sold in a store for a consumer to pay for, it has to meet all of these things. And if it does not meet them, then it cannot be sold. It cannot be moved from the district, from the warehouse and packaged and sent to the store. Because then there is a liability. And so when we look at compliance from a leadership point of view, compliance means that I am doing what is asked of me. You tell me you need me to be here at 8 o'clock? I really don't want to be here at 8 o'clock, but I cannot change the fact that I have to be here at 8 o'clock. So what do? I comply. I do what I'm asked to do. I don't ask any questions about why I have to be here at 8 o'clock, but I just show up at 8 o'clock and I come and I perform and I do what I'm supposed to do and I go home. The other part of compliance comes to that ties into that is inclined to agree with others or to obey rules. So in compliance, there is a level of obedience to the rules or to those that are over you. But I will ask you this. If you had a leader, that leader could be a teacher, it could be a supervisor, it could be a manager at your job, it could be your pastor, or let's say God.
Okay.
If there's something that is being asked that the individual does not want to do, but they know they have to do it in order to get something in return, how likely do you think that they're going to give it their all and give it their best?
One thing is because they only, well, they don't have a desire to do the work. They want mm-hmm. the benefits, but they don't want the work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just doing it because I'm gonna get my paycheck. So, you know, I really don't like this job. I don't like nobody on the job. You know, I mean, especially my supervisor, but I need to go to work. So I'm just going to do what I have to do. Well, if the person continues to have that mindset, they're not going to really give it their best. They're going to do just enough to get over, to get their paycheck, just get a check on it. There is nothing, there is no desire in their heart. Obviously, there's really the only commitment that they have is my paycheck. You know, it's no commitment to say, you know, I'm thankful, God, that you gave me this job. You know, I know my supervisors don't like me, but God, you know, I'm going to be thankful for this job, and I know, God, that you say you'll never leave me or forsake me. You're going to be with me, and I'm going to go in and smile to my supervisor and say, hi, how you doing? I'm not going to talk about her. But obviously, most of the time, that doesn't happen. You know, it's like a group get together, and they don't like the supervisor, you know. And so at that level, a person's not going any further because, number one, their mindset is to just be where they are, be content, do the job just to the point that nothing is going to be said, you know. Where if you look at this other person, she's going to make sure if she's a rapper, she's going to make sure that she makes sure that the tape is going to be put on smooth. To the one who's just getting the paycheck, she just put it on there, and you know how you can get lumpy and stuff, and it doesn't really matter. But because it's sealed, and because it took time to do the work, they're going ahead and let it through. But then she wants to know why, you know, her supervisor doesn't like her, you know. And it may not be because she doesn't like her. She wants her to do the job correctly. And I'm just, you know, and she has spoken to her to just try to be, you know, do it smoothly. And she says yes to her, but she never does it smoothly. But they're on a time. They have a time. And they don't have time to open the for her to open the package and do it all over again. So they just let it go because it's just the tape. But see, a person who that's committed to rapping and thanking God for this job of rapping, they're going to want to do it with excellence. They're going to make sure that the corners are nice and tight. They're going to make sure that they take their time, put that tape on, you know, smooth, make sure the package look beautiful. So that's the difference between someone just complying because, I need a paycheck, and someone is doing it with excellence because they know they're going to get paid. Mm-hmm. You know, they know they're going to get paid. So they're not concerned about that. They don't want to get fired. So because they know that if I don't do this job with excellence, I'm going to get fired. But see, the one that's in compliance, they don't have that mindset. So, if you know, when you go into any project, if you don't have a mindset to be thankful for what God has given you, even if it's sweeping the floor, if it's cleaning the toilet, then you're not going to go any further than that level because no one can trust you. Wherever you work, you have that same mindset. You do the same lousy work, you know, and so who wants you to be a leader? Mm-hmm. You know, they want a leader to do things with excellence and doing it with a smile, enjoy coming in, not talking about everybody, not talking about the supervisor, and then someone goes back and tells the supervisor. They want someone that's going to be focused, you know, on helping that company and wanting that company to be successful because they're so thankful for what God has done for them. Amen.
Exactly. Thank you so much. And so when we look at, you know, the level of commitment, again, I will ask the question, how committed are you? How committed are you? How committed am I to follow and to be and to walk in obedience to what God is calling me to do in the area of getting the keys to wealth? And so, you know, in asking the question, here's some other things that we can identify as far as keys to wealth. One is to know that wealth is enduring, and anything that is enduring means that it has the ability to surpass
the normal, I guess, short term, and will go a greater distance. It will, it's something that is going to go beyond the temporary. It is something that, you know, enduring wealth is going to go beyond just what I see today. But it also has a future, and there's longevity to it. Anything that is enduring, it's going on and it's going to continue. Another characteristic to retain is to have wisdom. One of the keys to wealth is to have wisdom. And in order for one to be wise, you know, the Bible says, you know, if you ask for wisdom, that God will give it liberal. He will give it to you freely, liberally. Just, you know, he will give it to you. But there takes a level of commitment to be able to walk in wisdom and to utilize wisdom. A lot of times, you know, we can have a lot of education. You know, we have so much knowledge, and a lot of topics and different things are right here at our reach because of the Internet. And we can learn so many different things. You can take online classes. You can get a degree online. You can get certificates. But when it comes to wisdom, that takes you to a whole nother place, because in wisdom, you may not always have the education that we look at today. You know, you may not have 12 years of, some people may not even have a high school diploma, but the wisdom that they have, that they can look at something that is complex and to be able to provide information on it, is a level of commitment that that person has taken when it comes to whatever that topic is. And so with wisdom, the Word of God tells us that God will give it to us. And you have, and it is something that you want to be able to retain, that wisdom, when it comes to getting wealth. Also, you know, I talked about earlier from Proverbs 13 and 11 that from wealth is hard work in order for it to grow over time. It is not something that is going to be obtained quickly. It is not with wealth. The keys to wealth is not something that you're going to get overnight. You don't wake up one morning and then say, oh, I'm going out here to be wealthy. But it is something that you have to put time and effort in, which goes back to what I would like to call commitment as being one of the foundational keys to wealth. So you can be obedient, but how far is your obedience going to go if you are not committed? And we see it in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where clearly Moses has told the children, he says, this is something that we're going to have to learn. And so, again, when you have to learn something, it means that it is a topic or it is a lesson that is going to take your time, effort, and energy in order to be able to do it, in order to do the action. And so an example that I would like to use is a car. I have never built a car before. I don't have an idea of where you would start, maybe the frame. But before you get to the frame, there has to be, you got to have a blueprint. What kind of car do you want to build? What does it take to get the car parts? Do you have to, who are you working with? But it also takes a level of education, and it takes commitment to say that when I'm going to build this car, I have learned what it takes to build a car. And so just in learning what it takes to build a car, that is not something that comes overnight. If we were to talk to a worker that works at GMC, or somebody that does it as a hobby, they will tell you that it takes work. And so when we're dealing with keys to wealth, we have to be willing to put the time in. And any time you are committed to something or to a thing, you have to be able to look at it from the macro picture, the big picture, down to the micro level, which is that small picture. And so we talked about commitment. We talked about compliance.
One of the other things that I want to talk about in from Galatians 5 is about patience. I believe that patience is a key to wealth because it's something that is not our norm. It's not when you're attaining wealth, it's not just people don't just wake up and say, I want to be wealthy, I'm going to be wealthy, and tomorrow the wealth happens. You have to be patient in your commitment to God, in your commitment to getting the level of wealth that you desire to obtain. There has to be patience. There has to be patience. So in order to know if you're committed, a couple of questions that I think you can ask and that I've definitely asked myself is, what do my habits look like? Have I identified habits that I currently have? Have I identified my actions and behaviors that I currently have, that I do every single day? Have I identified what they are, and do they line up to my level of commitment to the keys of obtaining wealth? Do my actions, my habits, and behaviors line up with my commitment, or is it hindering me? That is just a question to think about. Another question that one could ask themselves is, where am I currently? So we talked about actions and habits and behaviors, but where am I? If someone, am I coachable? Am I teachable? Am I in a place to where if someone were to tell me I needed to do X, Y, and Z in order to start the ball running, am I currently in a position to where I can receive from that individual and put into place what they have asked me to do? Again, we're talking about commitment, and we've already discussed and defined that commitment is to give and trust. I'm giving and trust to someone that what they have is going to help me establish my foundation. It also takes a level of honesty. How honest am I willing to be with to myself about where I currently am in my life? Nate brought up, you know, just in an earlier conversation that we had, that, you know, a lot of times, and this is me paraphrasing, but a lot of times we can say with our mouths that we're committed to something. But again, your actions have to line up with that level of commitment that you say you have, which goes back to your mindset. And if the mindset is that I'm going to do this just because there's a benefit or something in it for me, I would ask you, are you truly committed? What resources do you have available to you, or what resources do you currently and already possess that are keys to wealth, but you have not tapped into them? Do you have books at home, or do you have people in your local community that you know if you were to sit down and talk to them that they would give you information that can help you along your journey? Aunt Mary, I would like to ask you this question, and you can answer it and kind of think about it. But what is your single most important goal that you would like to achieve, and what is the level of commitment that you are willing to take in order to achieve it?
Okay. God has blessed me with the gift of teaching, and my desire is to teach babes in the Lord, new converts. And where I am now, you know, because I came from another church, you know, I have to go through the whole ordination, you know, thing again, ordination again. And so now I'm in ministry classes, and now we're in the process of changing pastors. So I don't know. I have to wait until, because now whatever this pastor had going, you know, and the classes that he had, this pastor coming in may redesign everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us that was that's in ministry class have to really start all over again according to his program. So right now, I just have to wait and see. But my I have a passion about it because when I was, you know, in the Lord, I was just confused and everything, messed up in the mind. And I just didn't have any help, you know, and the church I was going to didn't have a new believers class. And so, you know, I was raised a Catholic, so I never read a Bible in my life and didn't even understand anything. And so my heart goes out to people, to our babes that's coming into the kingdom of God, that they just don't understand things, you know. So that's my desire and my goal, and that's what I want to do. I just have a passion for that, you know, just to help people understand, just give them a simple understanding of the word, not anything complicated, not having to go to a Bible dictionary, you know, a Strong Concordance, a Drake Dake Bible, Amplified Bible, you know, try to figure out what's being said or what I'm saying. Just give it to him very simple, because Jesus has a very simple ministry. Everything he says, we understand.
Mm-hmm. And so in that level of commitment, you are willing to go as far as it takes, from what I hear. And I know
yes.
sometimes, you know, there may be times that we can't put a percentage or a metric on the level of commitment. But I'm willing to, and I don't bet. Trust me, I don't bet. I ain't got no money to give nobody and lose it. But I am willing to bet, Aunt Mary, that the level of commitment that you are willing to go in teaching these individuals is that if it meant that you had to stay up late for a certain amount of time, that you are willing to do it. That
yes.
there is a desire there because of the passion that you talked about to ensure
yes.
that people have the foundation that they need in God. That you are willing to say, I will do what it takes. If it means that I have to stay up 7 days a week for the next month until midnight, I am committed to this so much because there is the outcome is greater than me just going to bed at my normal early time. I'm just going to say you go to bed at 7 o'clock. But the level of commitment that you have, and I think in order for us to say, that I am committed, before I can, you know, talk about the obedience part, I have to ask myself, how committed am I to get the keys to wealth according to God's standard, according to God's way? And if we're not honest with ourselves to say that I am willing to sacrifice my time, God, I am committing my time to you. I am committing my time to the people whose lives I want to see changed, then the level of commitment that some people may say they have is not evident in their actions. It is not evident in the habits that they have, and it is not evident in their behavior that they display on a daily basis.
And, you know,
and
I would like to add, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you continue on with your thought.
Oh, no, I was done.
Oh, okay. Another thing that I have done is that I have, you know, they have different courses at some of the Bible colleges that are free, but you don't get any credit for it. And so I do other studying also, you know, so just because, you know, they'll be in this transition, it doesn't really matter that he does the program over again because, you know, I put everything in a notebook, you know. And I would just, hey, to me it's like learning something new because everybody has a different anointing, you know what I mean, and teach differently. So I'm looking forward to learning some more about the word that I don't already know, you know, and I will sit up all night long and study, you know what I'm saying. So I'm committed to this because I've been told, you know, I've been given wrong information about the word, especially when I was a babe, you know, and I understand how it can lead you to backsliding, you know. And so it's important that a babe get a full understanding that God loves them, Not because they don't wear earrings and don't wear this and that, and then you come to church and they say, okay, why you have your earrings on, and where's your prayer cap, and, you know, and I kept forgetting the prayer cap, you know, and, you know, focus on the thing, you know, so that they don't get tied up, or because you've been married, well, now that you've been married, although you divorced, you were an adulteress now, and you can't do anything in the church, you know, I want to help people just get the word. Let's talk about what God say about it, you know, and in order for me to do that, I have to study, you know, I have to study as though I'm getting a degree. So these courses that I take, I study as though I'm getting my bachelor's degree, you know, and so, and although I've been to Bible college, you know, and then the school shut down because the pastor passed away, you know what I mean, but it has nothing to do with my commitment. Because these obstacles come up. Because if I say I'm committed, I can still study. It's so much to study in the Word. It's so much that we won't learn in our lifetime. So I can still learn, because the bottom line is I'm going there to learn. So just because things shut down or whatever, I can still learn. Don't make an excuse and say, oh, well, now when we sit around and see what kind of pastor we're going to have. No, because this is not about the pastor. It's about me and wanting to learn all that I can learn, that God allows me to learn, to be able to help others in their walk with God.
Okay. So let's look at, and I think that's really good, you know, when you're talking about commitment and the level of commitment that you have to have as far as for the keys to wealth. Because I think it would be very hard to maintain that level of wealth without a level of commitment. And I really like, you know, I keep going back to when me and Nate was talking, was, you know, one of the things he said was about being, is understanding, having an understanding and being in a place where it says, in order to obey the command, you have to commit. And so to me, the commitment comes before I obey. The commitment comes before I obey. Because if I'm just obeying and just doing something out of doing it, now I'm only complying. And so my compliance is, you told me that I have to be here at 8 o'clock to work, or you tell me I can't have any other gods before you. Okay, got it. So I'm going to obey that. But what happens when the level of obedience that one has, because things aren't working the way that they want, or they're not seeing the results that they think that they deserve, happens? Now they begin to walk in disobedience. And it's very easily done.
Mm-hmm.
We
Amen.
See it every single day. And so when people have made a decision, because we're talking, also cannot forget the mindset, when a decision has been made to commit, that is dealing, that is, you're not in it to get, you know, to get what the grand benefits are. You are in it because you desire to see change. When you are committed to a cause, when we look at people like Martin Luther King, when we look at people even like Dr. Dunlap, that's Nate, y'all, just in case.
Yes.
And look at the level of commitment that he has to PRF. You can see the passion that he has to see people's lives changed. And the passion is exemplified in his behavior. It is exemplified in his actions. It is exemplified in the habits that he has. And so when we look at the keys to wealth, if we're not going to be committed to what the Word of God has to say about keys to wealth, when we get it, it will disappear very fastly, because the wealth in the form of getting rich quick is a mindset. I'm going to do just enough so I can get this. Abundance of whether it's money or abundance of houses or abundance of this, because wealth can mean a lot of different things to people.
When you look in the Bible days, wealth wasn't money. A lot of times it wasn't just about money. It was their wealth was how many cows did you have? How much property did you own? In today's times, 21st century, wealth is the money portion. In addition to, you know, what do your assets look like? Do you have liquid assets? Do you have something stored up? And it takes a level of commitment. It takes hard work that is going to that has to occur over time. If you ever talk to a wealthy person, they will tell you, it didn't happen overnight. It took time. It took sacrifice. It took being lonely. It took some tears. It took a lot of hard work. And when we look at commitment, it is not just commitment to a deal, like, oh, I want to get this wealth so I can do what I need to do and you know, get mine. I'm going to do me. But it is also commitment to self and to the community. It is commitment to self and to the community in which I serve and in which I live. And so here's some other questions. What are you committed to? Who are you committed to? And why are you committed? Why are you committed to that individual or that specific thing? And I think when we begin to answer these questions, ask ourselves these questions, what am I committed to? Who am I committed to? And why am I committed to the thing or the person? Now your thought process, you can begin to see how your thought process really functions. So Aunt Mary says, I'm committed to the new converts at church. I'm committed to ensure that they have a good foundation on what to stand. And my commitment comes in the form of teaching. And so in order for me to teach, that means I have to study. And I can't just do it 30 minutes before it's time for me to go to class. I can't just go on the internet and say, let's look up a lesson about what to teach new converts and just read it verbatim, but have no substance and have no really a comprehension of what it is that you just read.
Amen.
What do you do when somebody asks you a question? Well, you know, y'all talking about the keys to wealth. Well, I understand the commitment, but I know what it means to be committed. But at this point in time in my life, I'm not so sure if I have the keys. What do you tell somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if we are not properly equipped, if we are not properly trained, and if we are not going to take the time to learn so that we can teach others what those keys are, that a key to wealth is being committed, then somebody may ask us, well, I don't understand what you're saying, because they're looking for the world's response. Oh, you want to get wealth? Well, let's go out here and join this seminar and pay $299 because we're going to be in your town this weekend. And you can go to this seminar and learn how to flip houses, and you're going to get wealth. Not understanding that to flip a house means that you have to have some assets. You got to have some money.
Amen.
Do you have an investor?
Yes.
Do you have somebody that is going to invest in what it is that you're doing? Do you have a business plan? If you don't have one dime, how do you obtain the money in order to flip a house? And in flipping a house, do you also know that it takes that you have to do the renovation? Do you have a team of contractors? Do you have an electrician? Do you have a plumber? Are you bonded and insured and licensed? Are the people that you're working with bonded, insured, and licensed to do the work? How do you get the information? Is it going to be a foreclosed house? Is it going to be a short sale? All of these things, you know. And so if you look at that example, if the person is not going to be committed to flipping houses and go through the process of what it takes to flip a house, because it is not a one-day or two-week process, but could be as long as 5 months of a process, because there's some training that you got to get. Is a person really going to be committed to getting the keys to wealth, to say, you know what, there's some things that I have to do first? And I think that goes back to the mindset. When you think about people that want to just obtain riches quick versus wealth, where the Bible tells us that it is endurance. Wealth is enduring. And if you want to read more on that, you can read in, that's in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18. Genesis chapter 26 and 13 talks about wealth being its continual growth. And so you're adding on to it. You're adding on to the wealth. In Proverbs 21 and 20, it talks about wealth being in wisdom, having wisdom with the wealth that you have. And then in Galatians 5, having the patience to see the process through. So I also think, you know, and Aunt Mary, you just, you know, let me know. I think that our values that we have also play a role in our commitment. What do you think? And do you want to add anything to what I've said?
Well, when you talk about our values, you know, to me it means, what does it really mean to me? How important is this to me? You know, I'm mostly. Okay, to me, I'm kind of crossing over into my integrity, you know. If I say I'm going to iron clothes for someone, they're going to pay me. Am I going to make sure that all the wrinkles are out, or am I going to iron them? Because, you know, underneath the arm, you can just let things go, nobody never know it. Just let that kind of go, you know what I'm saying? Then that's, I mean, am I valuable? I'm not really valuable to that person, because that person is trusting me to do the job again with excellence, because she's willing to pay me whatever she was going to pay me. I agreed on it. So she expects for that product to come back iron, not any wrinkles or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. So am I putting a value on myself, on my work, on my even on my integrity, is my character, you know? My character.
Yeah, exactly.
What am I about?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I like to say, you know, working with excellence. Working with excellence. And I think that the answers, you know, to the values, what values do we hold to our heart, which also will show how committed we really are, or how, you know, committed we aren't, or compliant, you know, that we may actually be, you know, I need to evaluate or reevaluate where I currently am to my commitment and to who I'm committed to and what I'm committed to and why. I think it goes back to, if I can answer that question, it tells me a lot about who I am and what drives me. What is driving me? You know, is it that I want to see my names in the light, or is it that I desire to see people's lives change? And if I desire to see my name in the light, then the things that I will do will be shown to me, which will go back to my values and to what I'm really committed to. And it's not the people. It can't be the people if I desire to see my name in the light. But if I'm committed, you know, to God, and I know that God is a loving Father, then what I also know is that because God is a loving Father, and what I'm doing is to bless other people and to make sure that they have the things that they need, then you will see that in my behavior. And also, just when you're looking at commitment, you know, you have to look at what source are you connected to. What are you connected to? Who are you connected to?
Amen. That's good.
And I think, you know, that...
Go ahead. Excuse me. I was sharing with someone about, you know, we were talking about the people that that live in the ghetto and whatnot. And I said, you know, I said I was listening to a biography on Dr. J. And Dr. J was raised in the ghetto. He had a brother that had leukemia. And I said, now, he, no matter what was going on around him and to others and of us that lived in the ghetto, we have to choose that this is where I am right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to stay here. Mm-hmm. I don't have to stay here. I don't have to do drugs and do those things that I know that's not becoming to a woman. I don't have to do those things, mm-hmm. you know, because somebody else is doing it. And it goes back to, again, to setting a goal, making a commitment, really. And the basketball players and things and how moms raise them, you know, by themselves and two and three children. Mom set an example for that child. Although when she comes, steps out through out her door, that needles where they did all night long, it didn't matter. She kept them, and she taught them, and she trained them, and she kept them under the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought the children up in the way that they should go. Now, mm-hmm. they chose to go another way. Her hands are clean. So just because I live in the ghetto, I don't have to act like the people around me act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, and that will influence me. And this is what I was saying to another mother. I said, you just cannot continue to allow your daughter to, you know, associate with those children. I say that's why she's changing so, you know. And so it's the same thing with us. You know, once we have made a choice and we know where we're going and everything, then we're going to have to continue to be around people that have the same mindset that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because either they're going to dominate us, because we're not going to dominate them. See, because we're supposed to, I set my goals. Okay, now I'm going to just hang around the people that I hung around before, that all they want to do is get high. They don't work, they're Section 8, they're fine. They're fine where they are. But I choose something different, you know what I mean? But if I hang around them enough, as soon as I get off from work, I'm over their place. But I'm not smoking or doing anything. After a while, I'm going to be influenced.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to not only change, when we change our mind, we have to change who we are around.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes, we have to.
Exactly.
Just have to do that, because we're not strong as we think we are. Oh, I can do this, or oh that's how they say. No, you're thinking the same way too, because I can hear it in your, I can hear how you talk now. You know what I mean? So we have to be, like you say, we got to evaluate ourselves. We got to be honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we want to have this wealth that God talks about, it's going to take all of it, all of it, and constantly evaluating ourselves, constantly evaluating ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking a look at ourselves, not looking, pointing the finger at somebody else, but take a look at ourselves and say, where am I? Where I need to come up in? You know, and ask God to help us and give us wisdom and stay focused on what we want to do. And God will help us. And I know that for a fact. He will help us.
He
and like you said, you don't have to always have the education, but do you even have the desire to want to do better?
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
So I want to have the desire to want to change, to live a better life as I'm reading this word, and I'm seeing these people were really, you know, rich in this Bible here.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see them do all the things like you say, go out and get the quick rich scheme. They just loved God. They were just obedient. And when they weren't, they repented of it. They were godly sorry for it. And some weren't, and some weren't. And so we know the difference between the ones that weren't. You know what I mean? So, you know, we just have to stay focused on what we are doing. And every time we hear something different, we want to jump and do it. You know, okay, oh, did you hear about that? Come over here with me to this hotel. No, you need to stay focused on what you're doing, because that's her, that's what she wants to do. And I found that out to be even in my life years ago, you know. And then it didn't seem like I was just jumping from Avon, you name it, somebody, oh, come, okay. You know, and you don't gain anything by that, because it's just like you don't even know where you're going. You're going to go
mm-hmm.
wherever somebody leads you. No, you need to be your own person, make your own decisions and ask God to continue to guide you, because he says, trust in the Lord with all your mind. He says, acknowledge me in all your ways. So whatever I am doing, regardless of what it is, I'm to acknowledge God first.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he will make my path straight. He's going to guide me right. But I had to put my trust in God and not the people that are around me trying to sell me stuff and get me to be one of their numbers. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we thank everybody that got on the line tonight. You know, just ask somebody that if they will share, you know, to listen to the show on tonight. Because I think, you know, it's very important that, you know, we can identify the level of commitment that we have. And if we aren't committed, can we be honest enough to acknowledge it and be able to say, you know, that when it comes to the keys to wealth and my commitment or the lack thereof, that I have to understand that wherever I am in my level of commitment is going to be how it's going to show how obedient I am. And I think we have to understand and be able to make that connection, that my level of commitment equals my level of obedience. Because if I'm not really fully committed, if I'm 10% committed, then my obedience level is probably going to be lower than 10%. If I'm going to have a quid pro quo mentality that I'm doing this to get that, then my level of commitment and the foundation of my level of commitment is not very deep. The roots are not deep for my commitment. And when you understand that God has a desire and that we can obtain wealth, that there are keys to wealth, and that we can have wealth, we also have to understand the qualities and the traits and the characteristics that go with it. To understand that wealth is enduring and that it grows, that when you get wealth, it comes from hard work, and that your wealth can grow over time from the hard work, that it is continual, and that we must be patient. And in order for us to be committed, we got to evaluate ourselves if we haven't done it, or reevaluate what are the things that I'm doing right now that may be preventing, that may be hindering me from truly being committed to get to the level of wealth that I desire to be or that God has showed me to be. And if I don't know what I'm committed to, who I'm committed to, and why I'm committed to them or that organization, then it is probably very likely that once I start in it, that I may not complete it. And understanding that the momentum that I build has to be there. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening and joining us for another episode, another on our series, Your Keys to Wealth, Series 3. How committed are you? Asking yourself that question. We thank you for joining us on tonight. We hope that something that you heard will challenge you, will inspire you, will motivate you to evaluate where you are currently in your life, and are you willing to commit in order to be obedient to the Word of God and to those that He has placed in your life in order to get the keys to your wealth. We thank you for listening to us on tonight. We ask that you would pay it forward, that you would share this show with someone. Tell them to log in. Send them the link. Tell them to check us out on Facebook for PRF Ministry. We thank you very much, and we pray that you will have a great night. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.